Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, entitled Vidura Approaches Maitreya, text number 24. Satam Mahabhagavatam Vrajantam Kauravarshabha Vishrambhad Adhyadhya Vishrambhad Abhyadhatedam Mukhyam Krishna Parigrahe Sat Saha Vidura Tam Antu Uddhava Mahabhagavatam, the great devotee of the Lord. Vrajantam, while going, Kaurava Rishabha, the best amongst the Kauravas, Vishrambhat, out of confidence, Abhyadhatta, submitted, Idam, this, Mukhyam, unto the chief, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Parigrahe, in devotional service to the Lord. While Uddhava, the chief and most confidential amongst the devotees of the Lord, was going away, Vidura, in affection and confidence, questioned him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vidura was much older than Uddhava. By family relationship, Uddhava was a contemporary brother of Krishna's, while Vidura was elderly as Krishna's father Vasudev. But although junior by age, Uddhava was much advanced in devotional service of the Lord, and therefore he is described herein as the chief amongst the devotees of the Lord. Vidura was confident about this, and thus he addressed Uddhava in that higher category. That is the way of courteous dealings between two devotees. Again, I will read the translation. While Uddhava, the chief and most confidential amongst the devotees of the Lord, was going away, Vidura, in affection and confidence, questioned him. So we have a very short purport. Om Jnana Dibranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kribasindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhute Mahadhir Ya Ima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Soram Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna. This is a very short purport, but this short purport has significance throughout in a devotee's life. So I'll try to explain and elaborate on the very key point that is mentioned in this purport. So this purport is primarily about dealing with the devotees, the etiquette in dealing with the devotees. So here we can see that Vidura was advanced in age, and even in terms of family relationship, Vidura was superior to Uddhava. Still, Vidur is posing a question unto Uddhava. So here, a very important aspect comes in our devotional life. That is, how we can follow the etiquette in dealings with the devotees. It is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that if we have a jewel, if that jewel is nicely bedecked in a golden ring or a pendant, then that jewel becomes even more beautiful because there is a place to stay, and that covering is actually, that protection is enhancing the beauty and value of the jewel. In the same way, the dealings between the devotees, the etiquettes in dealings with the devotees is just like that. It actually gives value to our devotion. So if the etiquettes are not followed, the Vaishnava etiquettes are not followed, then that can create even trouble in one's devotional life. It can even lead to offenses amongst the devotees. So the etiquettes in dealing with the devotees is very important, and we need to understand at least the essential, the foundational principles of this. So I'll try to speak a few points in this regard. For example, there are many factors that define seniority or superiority. One aspect can be the position that can dictate superiority of a devotee. Second, the age factor that can be a criteria in showing who is a senior devotee. And we need to respect such devotees. They may have come to Krishna consciousness maybe much later than us, but because of age, we need to show respect. So that is Varishta Vaishnava. A senior devotee must be respected, even just with the age. So age is considered as a factor. Next, of course, is the time of initiation. When a devotee has been initiated into a bona fide sampradaya. So that is a criteria in defining the seniority. So all this we can see. However, the highest and the foremost criteria in defining seniority is the spiritual advancement. So here we can see that Vidura is superior in age to Uddhava. Even in family relationship, in terms of position, he is superior. However, Vidura is posing a question submissively with confidence to Uddhava because of this higher spiritual understanding of Uddhava. That is mentioned here by Krishna Parigrahe. Krishna Parigrahe means in devotional service to the Lord. And if you try to understand this word a bit more closely, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, Parigrahe means in capturing Krishna, in controlling Krishna. So Uddhava could control Krishna through his devotional service, through his bhakti. So Uddhava was certainly in a superior position to Vidura. So this is the highest criteria. Now, we can see this principle of etiquette being followed in great Vaishnava dealings throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. I was thinking about a few examples to this. The first example came to my mind was that of Sri Sukadev Goswami. Because Sukadev Goswami is just a young boy. But when he arrived in the assembly of all the great sages and even demigods, all of them got up from their seat and paid respect unto Sukadev Goswami. Right? So they were following this etiquette that they could understand that Sukadev Goswami was superior in terms of realization. However, in this we need to see one interesting aspect, that two personalities didn't get up or pay respects unto Sukadev Goswami. One was Vyasadev and other was Narada Muni. Right? Why it happened so? Because Vyasadev and Narada Muni, one was father and one is, you know, one is a guru and one is param guru. So they were in a superior position in terms of their spiritual relationship. So Sukadev Goswami has higher realization because Shukamukhat Amritadrava Samyutam. It is also confirmed in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Shiva, he tells this, Aham Vedmi Shuko Veti Vyaso Veti Na Vetiva Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Grahyam Na Buddhya Na Chathikaya. So it is mentioned that Lord Shiva says, I understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, because we know the pastime in which how Shiva was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Mother Parvati, and Shuka as a bird, he overheard that conversation. So since Lord Shiva explained Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned Shiva understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And since Sukadev Goswami, he explained that to Shukamukhat Amritadrava Samyutam, that is, the Srimad Bhagavatam has become even more nectarian because it emanated from the lotus mouth of Srila Sukadev Goswami. So since he could relish and he could enhance the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam with his realizations, Sukadev Goswami is full knower of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadev Goswami knows. So he is of a higher realization. But it is mentioned, Vyaso Vetina Vetiva, he may or may not know. Because Vyasadev acted as an instrument in bringing forth this spiritual knowledge to this world. So it doesn't mean he doesn't know. He is the incarnation of the Lord. But there is a question is posed in that verse. So for sure, Sukadev Goswami is in an exalted position. But there, they were following the social etiquette. So they followed the social etiquette by not getting up and paying obeisances unto Sukadev Goswami. However, they did follow a higher etiquette. That is a spiritual etiquette. And how did they follow that spiritual etiquette? They followed because they listened from Sukadev Goswami. So that is higher principle. So in that way, both etiquettes were followed simultaneously by Vyasadev and Narada Muni in connection to Sukadev Goswami. So this is the etiquette. So etiquettes can be complicated. It may not be so straightforward. Even in our daily dealings, we need to consider these aspects. For example, say a senior devotee is speaking to a new person. The new person may be asking some question and the senior devotee is explaining a few things. And sometimes it happens that we can just jump in and we can take over the conversation. We may think, I know the answer better. It has happened. So this is improper etiquette. So it shows that devotee doesn't have confidence in that senior devotee. It actually shows there is no confidence, there is no trust. Here that confidence word is very clearly mentioned. Vidura asked question to Uddhava with confidence because he understood Krishna Parigrahe. He actually could control Krishna. So that superiority Vidura could understand, so he asked the question with confidence. Similarly, if a devotee is giving lecture from Vyasasan, generally the first chance is given to that devotee to answer the question. Is it right? That is the general etiquette. So, because the audience may know answer better. Some of the audience may be senior. They may know the answer even in a better way. They could explain in a better way. But the etiquette is that one who is sitting in the Vyasasan gives the answer. And if he couldn't or if he tells others, then others will give the answer. So this is the normal etiquette that is being followed. In other words, I have seen the situation one time. One devotee was giving a program, preaching to new people. And another devotee wanted to take over the situation. That is, one new person asked one question and there was a conversation going on between the speaker and this guest. And in between, one devotee wanted to take over the conversation. You know, I can answer this question. So this is not the right etiquette. So this can even bring down the faith of a guest or a neophyte in the speaker. So even in an assembly, when we answer the question, we should answer in such a way that if there is a speaker, the audience would never lose the faith in that speaker. Even if we are adding some points, we have to place that points in such a way that it actually enhances the whole situation. Not that, you know, I am giving the all answers and, you know, whoever is speaking, who is giving a lecture, he, you know, he doesn't know anything. This is a wrong mentality. So one has to be very careful in this kind of dealings, even in our practical life. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again established the point of superiority because of spiritual advancement. When Mukunda Das and Raghunandan Thakur approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda Das, "Who is father and who is son? Are you the father, or Raghunandan is your father, or you are the father of Raghunandan?" Why? Because we know the pastime of Raghunandan Das Thakur. He could see Krishna appeared right in front of him to accept the offering, to accept the bhoga. Because Mukunda Das could see, because he, first time, Mukunda Das had to go to the nearby village for some reason, and he didn't have anyone to perform the puja and to do the offering and arati, and then he entrusted his son to do that. And Raghunandan went, no one came, he was offering, Krishna didn't come. He asked Krishna, requested, he pleaded, he cried, and finally Krishna personally came and he accepted the offering. So no one believed that. Mother told that this Raghunandan is quite naughty, because we know what happens. You know, he goes and, you know, the whole bhoga, whole prasadam, it's completely disappeared, means someone has actually eaten, which has happened actually in this, you know, in the current Brahminical standards, it has happened. I know in our, you know, in a family temple, there was one pujari known for this. One person just pushed the door and saw, so he was eating sweet rice in front of the Lord. He was doing the offering, and in my main well, you know, many times after offering, when he comes out of the altar, there were some marks here, white marks here. The sweet rice was actually falling down, dripping down. So it is possible in Kali Yuga, but Raghunandan, he didn't do that. Next time, father, he told, in the pretense of going to nearby village, he hid himself behind the curtain, just like we have a curtain. Behind the curtain, he hid himself. And Raghunandan performed the same activity. The Lord didn't come. He pleaded, he cried, and finally the Lord came. And he just came out, and Mukunda Das came out from the curtain, and the Lord went back and sat there. Then he could understand the exalted position of his son. So that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Are you the father or are you the son?" Then Mukunda Das replied, "Actually, Raghunandan is my father. And one who encourages and one who gives Krishna consciousness, he is the father, he is superior." So in that way, one's spiritual superiority is proven by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's again, the same point is coming to the same here also, that Uddhava is superior to Vidura. Similarly, we can say that in case of Daksha got offended. We know the Dakshayagya pastime, in which Daksha got offended because Lord Shiva didn't get up and paid respect to Daksha. Everyone in the assembly got up and they paid respect to Daksha, but Lord Shiva didn't. So now this is again an interesting story, because Daksha is superior to Lord Shiva. In what respect? Because he is his father-in-law. Lord Shiva's father-in-law is Daksha. So in that way, Daksha is definitely superior in one aspect. In the social etiquette, he is superior. However, consider the position of Lord Shiva in terms of as a demigod, as a functionary demigod. What is he? Lord Shiva is in, even in a, as a functionary demigod, he is in such a position that he has the power to annihilate, you know, hundreds of dakshas. One daksha is a prajapati. A prajapati is nothing in terms of power compared to Lord Shiva. Even in a lifetime of Lord Shiva, you know, there can be many prajapatis. There's no problem. So he is in such an exalted position. And Lord Shiva appeared even before Daksha. Because first sons of Lord Brahma, who are they? Kumaras, four Kumaras. And since four Kumaras, they refused to be the progenitors, then out of anger, the Lord came, Rudra came. So the Daksha, he came much later. So even in that position, Lord Shiva is superior. Then what is the highest and the most exalted nature and position of Lord Shiva? That he is a pure devotee. So Lord Shiva himself explains why he didn't get up and pay respects unto Daksha. He says, Satum Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam Itiriyate yatra puman apavrate satvena tasmin bhagavan vasudevo hi adhokshajo me manasa vidhiyate. He says, my consciousness is Krishna consciousness. That is called Vasudeva Shabditam. And the term Vasudev is used because the Lord appears only if one has Vasudev consciousness or pure Krishna consciousness. In other words, Shuddha Sattva. That's the reason the Lord appeared as a son of Vasudev, because Vasudev had Vishuddha Sattva. He had that consciousness. So the Lord appeared in the heart of Vasudev. So his heart is synonymous to Vishuddha Sattva. And then the Lord was transferred from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki, and then to the womb, like that. So this is the position of Lord Shiva. He's completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. And he says, when such exalted devotees, when they pay obeisances, they don't just pay obeisances unto the lump of matter. Because body is nothing but a lump of matter. Both gross and internally it is just subtle. Correct? So such exalted people, when they pay obeisances, who are they pay obeisances unto? They pay obeisances unto Paramatma, who is residing within the heart. So in other words, when they pay obeisances, even if they see the body, they just see the body as a temple where the Lord is residing. So Lord Shiva said, that's why I didn't get up, because I am constantly paying obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. So for me, there is no specific necessity to pay obeisances unto Daksha on his appearance, because whoever is present in his heart, I am always worshipping. So, but Daksha got offended and he cursed Lord Shiva. It went into a havoc. The whole yagya went into a havoc and so much of problems took place. No one followed any kinds of etiquette. Daksha yagya is a very classic example in which no one could control their mind or senses, and there were a series of curses and counter curses. See, this is the problem. One couldn't follow any kind of etiquette. Daksha's followers started cursing, and Lord Shiva's followers started cursing, and Daksha blasphemed Lord Shiva. He He called him as a monkey. He has got eyes just like that of a monkey, whereas his daughter has eyes that of a comparable to a eyes of a deer cub. Like that, he was giving so many things. He is just like a madman dancing in the crematorium. He is throwing ashes all over the body, and he is wearing a garland of skull. And what kind of person is he? So the whole thing, there was no etiquette, there was no nothing. It went into a complete series of blasphemy. So this is an example where one is just stuck to social etiquette without understanding the overall picture. So this is the position of even great personalities. Now, there is a very interesting pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam where these etiquettes were very nicely followed. It is in the fifth canto, in the pastime of King Priyavrata and Swayambhumanu. It's a very delicate pastime, because Maharaj Parikshit, in the beginning of fifth canto, in the chapter 1, he asked this question to Shukadev Goswami. He asked this question about King Priyavrata, because he understood the position of King Priyavrata is very peculiar. Because King Priyavrata, even though he was very exalted, even though he was an Bhagavat Atmarama, he was only interested in worshipping the Lord, and he was performing Nashtik Brahmacharya under the guidance of Narada Muni. Still, why did he enter into Grihastashram? And why did he rule over the world? So according to Parikshit Maharaj, it is completely bewildering how he could enter household life after realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's the need? And he was performing devotional service continuously without any cessation and without any interruption. He is completely dedicated in devotional service. Still he entered into family life where one is bound to perform some fruitive activities, and one has to divide time between one's sadhana and one's other activities. So why did he do that? Then he also thought, okay, since he was under Narada Muni and he was performing this Naishtik Brahmacharya, there was no reason at all to give that up. And most astonishingly, Maharaj Parikshit asked that even though he entered family life and he got attached to his wife, children and kingdom, still he attained perfection in Krishna consciousness. So this was even more bewildering for Maharaj Parikshit. So in other words, Maharaj Parikshit was inspiring Shukadev Goswami to answer this question in that way, to show the transcendental nature of bhakti, of devotional service. So that was the whole idea behind. Okay, anyway, in this, the interesting thing is Shukadev Goswami answers this question that actually shows the transcendental nature of devotional service. And then we will deal a little bit with the etiquette issues in this pastime. So I'll read the answer given by Sri Shukadev Goswami. So Shukadev Goswami said, "What you have said is correct. So there is actually no need for King Priyavrata to enter into Grihastashram." And Srila Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport in this regard. Prabhupada writes, "The distinction between family life and spiritual life can be experienced by any person who has undergone the tribulations of living with a family. One who comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord never becomes attracted by the activities of family life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, Param Drishtva Nivartate. One gives up lower engagements when he experiences a higher taste. Thus, one becomes detached from family life as soon as he comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord." So Prabhupada makes it clear the distinction between these two. And in this context, Let's read the answer given by Shukadeva Goswami. So Shukadeva Goswami says, what you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord's lotus feet and whose mind is always absorbed in his glories may sometimes be checked by some impediment, but he still never gives up the exalted position he has acquired. Can you understand? That is, if one has actually developed Krishna consciousness, just like King Priyavrata, even though it looks like he had lost the taste for Krishna consciousness, but that is not the case. He is still a devotee and still he is exalted. So his apparent attachment is superficial. It is not real. And it is proven by himself in later his life, because he could easily give up his family and he continued the process of renunciation, and in that way he perfected his life and he went back to Krishna. So this is the very peculiar situation. Now, the interesting aspect is Swayambhu Manu, why he wanted to get his son Priyavrata as the ruler of the world, because in the beginning itself he was quite detached. Priyavrata was quite detached, and Swayambhu Manu could understand that Priyavrata is not going to rule over the world. So against the social system, he took Uttanapad as the king of the world, of the whole universe. Uttanapad was the king. And Uttanapad's life line continued, we know, Dhruva Maharaj. And from there, that line continued till Prachetas. That is described in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prachetas had a son, that was Daksha, appeared in for the second time. However, Daksha left to perform austerities so that he could attain the same power he had in his previous birth. So he wanted to revive his power, so he left. So now, Swayambhu Manu was left with none to rule over the world. So he had no choice but Priyavrata as a qualified son. So he approached. So we had to understand, half of the Manvantara was passed in this way. It's many yugas, right? It's many, many yuga cycles. One Manvantara, how long is it? 71 or 71 yuga cycles. So 35 or 35 and a half yuga cycles were passed. And that much time, Priyavrata was performing devotional service in Gandhamadana Hill. Think about, such a naishtik brahmachari. Half of the Manvantara he was performing devotional service without any deviation. And Swayambhu Manu, he wanted to tell him, now you stop devotional service and come and rule over the world. Such a contrast. It's like, devotees, if someone lives in the ashram for many, many years, 10 years or, so if you had to ask them to go and find a job outside, it is tough. Is it right? Think about our Priyavrata Maharaj, He is living for half the Manvantara, and then Swayambhu Manu and told him, look, now is the time, now you come. You come, take over the world, you rule over the world, you get married, produce children, and in that way, you populate. For sure, it was not at all appealing to Priyavrata. So he asked, if I go, if I follow your order, I will lose my Krishna consciousness. So what is the point? So Swayambhu Manu, he understood the situation. So in one sense, it is right that Swayambhu Manu very well understood that his son is going to disobey his order. And it is for a higher cause, whose Priyavrata's cause is certainly higher. And even Brahma had the same experience, that his sons disobeyed. Right? All Kumaras, they were representing the Gyanashakti of the Supreme Lord. there were empowerment of the Supreme Lord. They were Shakti Avesh Avatar in that sense. And Lord Brahma requested all four Kumaras, now you go, get married, and you be the progenitors of the world, because that is the need of the hour. Because that is the task of Brahma, to populate the world. And he needs someone to do that task for the Supreme Lord. But Kumaras disobeyed. And Brahma cursed. Brahma became angry rather. And what happened? Lord Rudra came out from the forehead. Now that action is accepted. No one actually blames Kumaras. Rather it is glorified. Right? So it is like if someone wants to leave home and join the ashram, most of the time, the parents are against, which is the case we have seen most of the time. So, but still it is accepted because of a higher cause. So everyone is encouraged, it doesn't matter, you perform devotional service. So it is a higher cause. Now, here, Swayambhu Manu had only one choice. He requested Lord Brahma. So here again, Swayambhu Manu couldn't directly approach his son because his son was following the order of his spiritual master. So he didn't want to interfere between the affairs of a guru and his disciple. Because Narada Muni, who is Narada Muni? He has made thousands and thousands and people into renunciants, right? We know the past time. Who are the sons of Daksha's son. What was the first set of people the devotees called? No, I don't remember. How many? 10,000, right? Narada Muni, he got the right opportunity and preached, because they were going to perform austerities so that they can be progenitors. So meanwhile, when they were going, Narada Muni caught them and told, you don't have to do this. What's the use of performing austerity for this sake? Rather, you perform devotional service and you go back home, back to Godhead. Daksha became furious. Then he produced so many again, a few folds, I don't know how many number now. Yeah, something like that. 50,000? 40, whatever. They came, then Narada Muni used another preaching technique. He said, your brothers, older brothers, they have already chosen this path. So you also become renunciants. So Narada Muni delivered them also. So now in the same way, here we can see that Narada Muni is doing the same thing to King Priyavrata. He's telling, okay, you perform austerity and go back home, back to Godhead. Don't get into these kind of affairs. So, definitely, Swayambhu Manu didn't want to interfere. But he got a right person. Who was that? Lord Brahma. So, Lord Brahma, he understood the need of the hour. And he came in his swan carrier from Brahmaloka, from Satyaloka to Gandhamadana Hill. And there, Narada was there, Swayambhu Manu was there, even many other great personalities were there. Then Brahma requested Priyavrata to go and rule over the world. So here is a very interesting point is that I will just read the first few words spoken by Lord Brahmaji. It's a very important point in this context. Lord Brahma said, the Lord Brahma, the Supreme Person within this universe said, my dear Priyavrata, kindly hear attentively what I shall say to you. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord, who is beyond our experimental measurements. So again, this point is very important. Kindly hear attentively. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord, who is beyond our experimental measurements. All of us, including Shiva, Lord Shiva, your father and the great sage Maharshi Narada must carry out the order of the Supreme Lord. We cannot deviate from his order. The answer is very subtle. The answer is, don't be jealous of the Supreme Lord. And everyone is entitled to follow the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are a series of verses in which Lord Brahma makes this point very clear. He reiterates this point again and again, that everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord. He gives many examples, you know, just like a bull is, you know, controlled by a rope. Like that, many examples he gives to show that everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he makes this point because Lord Brahma, he is acting as a supreme authority in this context. But he is not approaching Priyavrata whimsically. Just because his father told and there is no one to rule, okay, now I must interfere in the situation. No. Because Lord Brahma, he could understand the desire of the Lord. This is the highest qualification. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned, the Lord is situated in the heart. And for such a pure devotee as Lord Brahma of this universe, the Lord actually dictated to interfere in this matter. So because of Lord Brahma's Krishna consciousness and the dictation by the Lord, he interfered in the situation. So that is the highest spiritual position. That is, he could really understand the need of the Lord. The Lord wanted to do this, so he acted as the right representative. So this is a very important point. So that is, so here in this context we can see by the power of Lord Brahma, or because of his devotion, he could solve this problem as such. And Swayam Bhumanu was satisfied. Narada was satisfied. Even though he was a spiritual master, he was satisfied. Priyavrata was satisfied. And Priyavrata, when he started ruling the world, and he got married, and he had his children. And later, he renounced. Because he was already Krishna conscious. The detachment again came to his heart, and he understood, oh, what I have done. You know, I have to go back, and I had to again continue my devotional service in its completeness. So, Priyavrata again goes back, and he perfects his life. So here we can see how Brahma very delicately dealt with the situation and appeased everyone. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Okay. Yeah, Mother. Yes, Mother. Sorry. I had a realization after reading this pastime, because it is very evident. Even Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions this point that one shouldn't try to protect one's plants by one's knowledge, one's austerities, or any other material means. Because as Mataji was pointing out, yes, we have that tendency. So it is very clearly mentioned here that one shouldn't try to hold on to, one shouldn't be stubborn just to stick to one's own plan. And when we have that plan, then we use our material strengths, maybe in terms of knowledge or this or that position, whatever, to hold on to that plan. This is our real nature. So it is mentioned that this pastime actually shows, this particular pastime really shows that even though Narada Muni and Priyavrata, they had a plan, but the Lord had a different plan. And they were ready to submit to that plan. So we can think, you know, who is Narada Muni and who is Priyavrata? Such exalted personalities. And even their plans actually got changed by the interference of the Lord through the authority of Lord Brahma. So I was thinking, you know, what is our position? What is my position? Nothing. What is the value of my plan? So we can actually compare this great, we can see this great personality, how they are surrendered unto the will of the Lord. So that can many times that one thought came to my mind yesterday morning. Actually speaking, the best inspiration, because we are all looking for inspiration for doing things. The best inspiration is if we get some inspiration from Bhagavatam, when we get inspiration from, you know, Krishna's pastimes or any other pastimes from Prachimal Bhagavatam. That is really a very nice inspiration to do things. It may not be directly, okay, in this case it is matching the context, but sometimes when we think or when we read and reflect on different pastimes of the Lord, that in itself inspires us to do devotional service. Especially if it goes along with nice chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that in itself gives inspiration to do things. And especially it inspires us to do things which we really hesitate to do in service of Krishna. So, you know, I feel Bhagavatam is the right inspiration for us to do things, along with, of course, with good chanting. The Lord is inspiring. But who is actually inspiring us? Especially when to get over such kind of a situation. The Lord is inspiring us within the heart. Is that okay? I don't think is there any, you know, a solution like that. Because we need to, we had to be, that's what I was feeling today morning, thinking about this, you know, we need to be inspired to do anything. And that inspiration is coming from the Lord. And the Lord can very easily do that when He is pleased. Any final question? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.